Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do this.
All right, so we are at the end of an era.
Yeah.
A long, long era.
Of course, we're talking about the WWE Scratch logo.
It's gone.
It's going to be gone come Sunday.
Yeah.
As far as we understand, every, you know, WWE-related item will have the new logo. I don't even know what
fancy
to call it.
Fancy logo?
The network logo? It's what we've been calling
it. I mean, it's been
it.
Calling the network logo, but if it's going to be the everything logo now.
It's kind of blocky, so we can call it the block logo.
I don't know.
But I don't know, the old, like, yellow, goldish WWF one was very blocky.
That was very blocky. Well, like, and this is the thing, is this, you know, this is either, you know, since they did the whole get the F out, you know, campaign, or if you want to say, like, no, that was a Scratch logo.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
The Scratch logo has been around since
Attitude.
Attitude, 96, 95, I don't know when they started the Scratch
logo. Probably late 96, 97, I want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
They did the Scratch logo, and then they did the get the F out campaign thing. And now we're at the new network logo. Mm-hmm. I don't know, we can call it the 999 logo.
I mean, it's still...
Apparently that's the only real way to see it.
It's still a W.
Yeah, it's still a bunch of, a couple W's on top of each other.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, honestly, okay, let's be frank. The new logo is too much like the old one. Okay. I feel like it's lazy.
Well, here's the thing. So, I mean, they're going to make a W logo.
Right, of course.
I mean, but here's the thing. And so, if you are, you know, assuming that they're going to have this logo here for the next 10 years, 15 years, you know, assuming this is it, this is the logo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, like, totally ruin this logo for you, but I'm going to. So, the red line underneath the logo.
Yeah.
It goes behind the W and should be visible in the little point
right
of the W, and it's not.
It's hard to describe that audibly.
I know.
Without showing you guys, but yeah. Yeah. It's missing like maybe a quarter of an inch amount of red.
Just next time you see the logo, follow the red line and you'll see where part of it isn't there where it should be.
And again, this could have been fixed if they just got rid of the red line or come up with a different logo. Like, yeah, it's going to have, like, the W's or whatever, but I feel like they could have, you know, been a little bit more creative about it. Because really, they made the Scratch logo into hard, straight lines.
Yeah.
That's all they did.
I mean, I get the, you know, the Scratch logo is still so identified with...
Right. And yeah, there's an element of brand identification.
Yeah. And so, I'm trying to think of, you know, when you go through, you get any, like, Wikipedia page of, like, logos of NBC through history, or logos of, you know, whatever, through history,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see at some point they did, like, a crazy off-the-wall logo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can look at, like, Warner Brothers shields or, you know, that kind of stuff where they just, you know, the logo has evolved over the years, and every now and then you'll see one right in the middle, where they, like, just went totally off the wall. And you're like, that looks crazy, and I don't care for it.
Right.
So I get the, you know, a big W is what they got.
Right.
And so, they, you know, you only want to touch, especially in, you know, right now, maybe in a few years, they, you know, add in a little E on the side, or, you know, if you want to make adjustments to it, but...
Yeah, I like how all this is, there's a bunch of stuff going on that we could talk about this week. It's not like last week.
Yeah, it's not like last week.
Like, we've got a pay-per-view coming up. We've got a Monday Night Raw, which was, it was decent.
And it was full. And decent Raw was full.
We've got signings. We've got firings. We've got network changes. We got all that. And here we are talking about the logo.
The logo.
But then again, this is the first time it's been even touched in almost 20 years.
Yeah.
So, fine.
I mean, it's worth mentioning.
Of course.
So, you know,
to spend the first 5 minutes on the show is fine, even
saying,
though we've got a lot to cover.
A fond salute to the Scratch logo.
Sure enough.
What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's getting, you know, a lot of stuff has happened between
last recording and this recording.
Right, and it got kind of buried underneath some other news and stuff, but I feel like the big hot button issue is Del Rio getting fired on Thursday.
Del Rio getting... like fired, not like let go,
not even
future
getting
future endeavors.
Like, yeah, he didn't even get any of his future endeavors well wished or anything like that. Homeboy got straight up axed.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the best way to say that.
Yeah.
Or as JBL would probably say, if he was allowed to talk about the subject, Mexico's greatest export just got recalled.
Fine.
I said it just got recalled. Anyone?
So...
Yeah.
So there's obviously been no official statement of the, like, this is what went down behind
the scenes. Well, okay. There's been official statements, but it didn't go, like, into detail.
No,
like,
the official statement was...
Del Rio following an altercation with
a WWE employee
has been let go for disciplinary reasons or whatever.
Yes.
And then, in a very, I don't know, like, it was a very snide, not snide, but, you know, it's a nice little jab on Twitter. I don't know if you read that. Like, from WWE's,
official Twitter
said something along the lines of, you know, Alberto Del Rio is a professional athlete. If you should be angry at anyone, you should be angry at him. He should conduct himself in a better manner or something like that. That was like a few hours after they broke the news.
Wow.
Very, like...
Finger pointing.
Like, yeah.
You know, yeah. A lot of these things where, you know, they're like, they will take the hit, they will suck it up, mm-hmm. they're the corporation and da-da-da. A like, business decision had to be made and I made the decision.
Yeah, and honestly, because I think... Joel, you were the one that first told me because I was out of town,
mm-hmm.
and you messaged me and you just sent me a link to it, and I just read the link description that said Del Rio fired, and I was like, wow, that was sooner than I was expecting, but I'm not entirely shocked. It wasn't until later when I actually got in front of the computer and actually clicked on the link where I was really surprised about the disciplinary stuff and like, an actual altercation happened. You know, him getting released or fired or whatever felt like it was on its way coming because they're not using him. He's a big contract and he wanted out, and he's wanted out for a while apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, I didn't know when his contract was up, you know, that type of stuff kind of, you know, sneaks up on us.
But you figured he might be parting ways.
Yeah. I figured, you know, with them trying to make financial cutbacks, you know, axing a big contract like his would be, you know, beneficial, because I believe his contract was in the top five and as far as
what it was
on your talent.
Yeah. Well, it was shocking. And you know, immediately the stuff like, well, lots of physical altercations happen.
Yeah, I think there was a gif of whenever Shawn Michaels went into a super kick frenzy in the hallway with like every single person, and you know, loose papers were flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Funny segment. I get the joke. Fine.
Well, here's the thing is nobody else has been fired yet.
No.
Do
you want to talk about what's been being reported
as? Yeah, so rumors are that it was a catering member or
No, it was a .com writer. People have leaked the name of whoever this person supposedly is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know it off the top of my head, and even if I did, I probably wouldn't say it, but just, you know, for the sake of not wanting to be wrong about this.
Exactly.
They were in catering, believe it was Monday night. It was Monday night, and apparently this .com writer was, like, walking away, leaving a mess or something, and someone said, you know, hey, you gonna pick that up or clean that or something like that, and he basically said that, no, that's Del Rio's job.
Yes.
Word got around to Del Rio. Del Rio didn't like that comment so much for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently slapped the taste out of the dude's mouth.
Yeah.
Because apparently whenever he confronted about it, the .com writer was very arrogant, jokey, you know, didn't take it seriously kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Del Rio, he seems to be the kind of guy that takes himself very seriously and doesn't appreciate it when someone else doesn't return the favor.
Yes.
So, that part I'm not surprised with.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we haven't heard of any sort of disciplinary action on this .com writer.
Now, it's, you know...
I mean, I don't know if they would make that public.
That would not be newsworthy. Like, well, Del Rio is, you know, a
He's a public figure.
Public figure, on-air talent. He would be the one to be like...
You know, if someone who isn't a public figure gets fired or
reprimanded in any way,
they don't make that public because it's not a public figure. So we probably wouldn't hear about that. But mm-hmm. I'm surprised with this getting so much attention, at least for the first few days or so. I'm surprised that we didn't get something like, you know, both parties were at fault at some degree.
Measure
will be taken against, you know, blah, blah, blah. They don't have to go into the specifics or anything like that.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, like, I don't know, Del Rio was so thoroughly fired.
Yes.
That it was the kind of thing where, like, WWE has, not that they've taken sides in the altercation.
They very much have, yeah.
But they've made a statement, you know, as far as Del Rio is concerned, not that they're necessarily backing up or defending the other person.
Right.
They have, as far as Del Rio is concerned, they are done.
Right.
There's no going back from this. There's no bridge left to rebuild.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Because they feel like he crossed a certain line.
Yeah. And, I mean, Del Rio didn't have any sort of, like, storyline that, you know, is getting mysteriously dropped. But There's no more acknowledgement of him on WWE television.
Right.
From that one. And so, yeah, if you liked Del Rio, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, sorry, Blair.
I'm sure you can find him wherever he goes next. I mean, he's still a big name, and he's a bigger name now than he was.
Yeah, after so long, I believe, you know, he has a 90-day no-compete.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I believe it's been hinted at that him and Ricardo are both going to AAA down in Mexico.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. I think Del Rio was just cranky because he missed Ricardo.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was the thing.
If Alberto and Ricardo become, like, a tag team, I would be thoroughly happy. Because I know Ricardo, like, the big thing with Ricardo is he wants to get back in the ring.
He missed wrestling, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll see what happens. Keep an eye on that. As far as Raw this week, Heath Slater continues his winning streak.
Yeah.
I think 3 weeks in a row now.
I believe so. Either that or two.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
I would not have predicted this 2 months ago.
No. I wonder if this is just going to be a running gag where, you know, Heath Slater, like, he won't even be, like, involved in the same storyline or anything. He'll just be, you know, put in one match that has other implications of another storyline.
That needs to further a different storyline.
And there'll be some shenanigans that goes down where he ends up winning. And then the next week it'll be a completely different storyline with a completely different wrestler.
But, I mean, to be totally fair, at least these past 2 weeks, Slater's gotten some offense in both matches. It hasn't been, you know, a beatdown, interference, squash, surprise win. Like, you know, it has still been a surprise win because it was because of the opponents. But, you know.
This question was posed to me during Raw. It was a, quote, one-on-one match, but since Heath Slater is technically a three-man band, would that be a handicap match?
Heath Slater's only one-third of the three-man band.
But his music claims that he's a three-man band.
Well, it's just that the other two members are very late.
Maybe they weren't part of the band. Maybe that was the secret of everything.
You think that's why?
They were just there.
He is the
real three-man band was Heath Slater all along.
Just Heath Slater.
It was him, Austin.
And Jinder and Drew McIntyre were just groupies?
Maybe. Or just his buddies that wanted to hang around. You know, whatever.
All right, fine. And that's why they could add Hornswoggle without changing the name. Because it's always Heath Slater.
Somebody's getting on board. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is dumb enough. I'll ride this train.
It's got no brakes. Oh, dear Lord. What else?
What else happened on Raw? That was a birthday party.
Birthday party, and Brock's music hit, and instantly I was just like, Brock Lesnar's going to kill everyone in that ring. Because I was sitting there like trying to think of who theoretically could take a bump in that ring. And I'm going like one by one, like Nash is on blood thinners. Hall just got, like, he's basically completely remodeled from like the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
Flair technically passed his physicals. Hogan technically passed his physicals.
Yeah.
Well,
I read a report this past week or an interview where
Jimmy Hart would just evaporate.
Yeah. But they said it's not, it's no longer a question of if Hogan will have another match, but rather when.
When, yeah.
So.
I mean, put him in a quick squash match that's like in the middle of a big pay-per-view, like WrestleMania 31.
Well, so that's the thing. I was like, so what would you want for Hogan? Like, you don't get that Hogan doesn't get a match option anymore. Hogan is getting a match.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? And obviously, you don't want him main eventing another WrestleMania.
Hogan versus Heath Slater. Heath Slater rides this accidental winning streak all the way to WrestleMania 31, and he wants to take on the Hulkster, and Hulkster drops the big leg.
Okay. But so
it will be a quick match. Like, whatever match they put him in, it's going to be a squash match, and it's going to be quick.
You think it's a guaranteed squash match?
Yeah, I don't know. They're not going to put him in a long.
And I'm not saying like a 45-minute match, but I'm saying like a 10 to 15-minute match.
Okay, maybe that. Okay, fine.
So there's a little bit of back and forth. There is some offense, and maybe you stick that. Not WrestleMania, but maybe like a Survivor Series match, or maybe like Hogan gets in the Rumble. And gets to, you know, throw three guys over the ring.
I don't know. I if he's going to get like one match,
mm-hmm.
Vince would be too tempted to put it at WrestleMania. Okay. I feel like that temptation would be too huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, but here's the thing. So like when you look in like total kayfabe blinders on, like people don't get weaker.
No.
They are. So Hogan is still like unbeatable,
right,
in WWE kayfabe. I don't know if anybody's ever kicked out of the leg drop. Like, maybe three people in history?
I'm pretty sure at some point, yeah.
If you ignore WCW and you ignore TNA,
right,
has anybody ever kicked out of the leg drop on WWE? I don't know. I mean, I'm not. If somebody can, like, point out a time.
No one has kicked out of the finger poke of doom.
Okay, fine. The real finisher.
Oh, yeah. That one's so deadly, he only used it once.
He's only ever brought it out the one time.
Yep.
So,
yeah, you know. Brock came out, and we thought he was going to kill everyone.
Fair enough. Well,
he didn't. But apparently John Cena is the only one who has the ability to run to their aid.
Well, of course.
Because the entire locker room, which is, you know, theoretically half filled with faces, could have easily come down to the ring. Kali would eventually get there.
we had, like, you had every time, because running down to the ring is a thing, you just, like, have to constantly look past, like, why is only that person running down the ring? Why is everybody running down to the ring?
Okay, it would be one thing if every superstar wasn't on the freaking stage. Like, if they were just in the back, and they were just having the little birthday party right there with all, you know, and those were the only people involved, and people on stage weren't there, that would be a different thing. But they were right there! I mean, come on.
Everybody's too scared of Brock, right? That's the picture you should be seeing that they're painting. Whether it's a successful painting or not, that's the pitch. Is like, only Cena will stand against the monster.
Of course, and only Cena could do that. Like all I'm thinking of now is the, what was it? The Three Stages of Hell from Extreme Rules.
Oh, wow. No, where, don't think about that.
Where John Cena jumped off the top rope and just everyone fell, and then mm-hmm. C-Car fell like about 5 minutes later.
Yep. Okay, but can you say something nice about Cena's promo this week? Or does it just hurt too much?
It was okay.
It was a good promo.
It was a good promo.
It had a tease but of it like, was heel turn.
Yeah, okay,
it was serious, Cena.
I've seen enough of those to just not take that bait anymore.
Oh, no, it's not a real thing, but I'll get a giggle every time he does it.
Sure. But I don't know. It was fine. I didn't have any problems against it. Like, I was going to come in here, you know, guns a-blazing on John Cena's promo. All
right.
But he's up against the Paul Heyman promo, for the second week in a row, knocked it beyond out of every single park known to man.
Well, yeah, like, don't compare.
It's hard not to when they're up against each other.
Just, how about compare it against a Brock Lesnar promo?
Well, yeah, my desktop mouse sitting here could compete with Brock Lesnar promo off.
I know, so, I don't know. I like it when, like, I haven't gotten, like, CNN, I haven't been worried about CNN. Worried is in quotation because, you know.
Yeah.
But I haven't been concerned about Cena's ability in a long time because the last big pay-per-view was WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And, like, he was against Bray Wyatt and it just, it wasn't, you know, as much as I love Bray Wyatt, it wasn't anywhere where I could believe, like, oh, this could be an upset. And, right. You know, so. But,
so this, like, this is a, like, maybe first time since Rock, no, yeah, first time since.
Since Rock at 29?
Daniel Bryan, there you go.
Daniel Bryan.
Since Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, at like, last year's SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a year since we were at, you know, full on, not sure who'd win. Mm-hmm. Now, even though we had a very sneaky suspicion that Cena was probably going to win. This one, it's a legitimate toss-up because, you know, they're going to always be tempted to have Cena overcome everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's Brock Lesnar.
I mean, so it's beyond the, like, I genuinely don't know this time, which rarely happens in and of itself. Add on the how often it happens with Cena involved. Plus the, like, Cena gonna get beat up.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, it's gonna be violent, you guys.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I would say the over-under on the amount of time it takes for Brock Lesnar to open up John Cena might be, like, less than 3 seconds this time.
I mean, and here's the thing. Even with, like, not to say anything bad about, like, CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's perfect, and I love it.
Yes.
But, like, with a thing where, like, oh boy, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. And then next week was, oh boy, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan again.
Yeah.
And the next month was, oh boy, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan again. And even in between there was, like, oh, a six-man tag team where at some point CM Punk and Daniel Bryan will be fighting each other in the ring.
Right.
So, like, and so there was that, you know, there's that kind of thing where it's great. And it's like, what's your favorite match of the year? CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan? One of the three. So, but, like,
well, clearly it was over the limit.
Okay, fine. But my point is, like, because it's two full-time wrestlers, it's, right. You know, I get that a lot. This is a rematch of a match I enjoyed two years ago mm-hmm. and finally get to see again.
And one of the guys you haven't seen since April.
Right. And so there is build-up. And so, you know, Cena's taking it seriously. And that's constantly Cena's biggest weakness, yeah, as he'll, a character.
Taking it seriously 1 week and then being joke Cena the next. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if Cena wins and he comes out with goofy Brock Lesnar, you know, Bork Bork jokes, that's fine. Because the match is over. This is fine. The match is over. Are you never okay with joke Cena? What is it? Okay, no. Paint me a scenario where joke Cena is okay with you.
Okay, when he's facing someone I don't care about. I don't know, like, yeah, it makes sense for him not to be joke Cena against someone like Brock Lesnar, because that's the type of character Brock Lesnar is. Like, mm-hmm. he's one of those guys that you have to take serious. I'm pretty sure, I can't remember, I don't think we got joke Cena versus Daniel Bryan last year.
No.
It was more like mutual respect.
Yeah, mutual respect.
Please slap me in the face, Daniel Bryan. No, I won't. John Cena kind of thing.
Cena left right after the match.
Well, yeah, that too.
Like, he was gone for 2 months right after
that. He might have even taken Mark Henry completely serious before Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I could come up with a scenario where I would be okay with joke Cena. I don't know.
All right. I mean, and, you know, this is a situation.
The most I've ever been okay with it would be the night after WrestleMania 29. He was a little bit of joke Cena then. But I feel like at that point, you know, okay, he finally beat The Rock. He kind of earned this. And, you know, the heel turn joke was kind of funny. I'll give him that.
And see, that's the thing. It's like, this is a completely different argument as to if joke Cena is actually funny.
Yeah.
Because, whatever.
That's more of a discussion on taste.
Yeah, but this is just, when is joke Cena acceptable?
Right.
Because a big problem is there is a feud, and John Cena has the opportunity to build up a credible opponent and speak to it at that level, especially when he's facing somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, just about everybody's lower on the card than him, so he has the ability to really solidify somebody as a superstar because they are worthy of facing John Cena, mm-hmm. and he trashes that because he chooses to do joke Cena.
Right.
And so that's the problem with Joke Cena. And so to do Joke Cena this week would have, to me, forecast Cena's going to win.
Right.
It would have been, this might as well not watch SummerSlam, because right. I don't care, because Cena doesn't care.
Yeah.
Next week, I am fine with Joke Cena.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's, I don't know, there's certain points when Joke Cena comes out, and it just kind of takes you out of it. Like, it takes you out of being involved with the storyline. Like, I remember that kind of what did it with me and Cena and Bray Wyatt whenever he started making Jimmy Buffett and Margaritaville references. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, okay, he's supposed to be your monster. Like, he's supposed to be your demented dude that everyone's supposed to take seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're making Jimmy Buffett references.
And I completely agree with you on that. That was the, though I didn't say the name, that was what was in my mind, is when this is the chance to, Bray Wyatt has a chance to face John Cena at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. This is where you solidify Bray Wyatt as basically your new Kane.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Kane's been there. Kane has got to be in the second half of his career. Like, I thought...
No, he's right now, he's writing, like, the longest encore that there ever has been.
Yeah.
Like, he really should have, theoretically, he should have retired after the last Kane and Undertaker run.
Well, you remember, like, it was...
That's when we were talking, he was going to retire any minute.
Mm-hmm.
When he was World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. And so it was like, we were watching his last hurrah here, and nope, Kane is still... And still putting on great matches, like, you know...
Not lately.
Okay, but since then.
I mean,
the entire team friendship happened since then.
Right, of course.
Kane being weirdly effective in helping out a Daniel Bryan and CM Punk feud.
Yeah.
Not ruining it like I expected, but really helping that out.
Yeah, being very much an enhancement in that match, yeah.
Surprise, surprise. And so...
And even his match, just one-on-one against Daniel Bryan, that SummerSlam was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, speaking of SummerSlam... Well, actually, you know what? Let's just take care of other news real quick.
Okay.
It was confirmed yesterday, Tuesday, I should say, on the 12th. Kevin Steen has signed with WWE and is being sent down to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Internet was crazy. I'm excited by this. You know, I am taking it with a grain of salt because I feel like as happy as I am that Steen is part of WWE and NXT now and, you know, will have great matches.
Yeah.
I have a feeling like he's going to be the most likely of people recently signed by WWE that will be held back for superficial reasons.
Yeah.
You know? Either he's going to piss off a lot of people with the stuff he says, or they're just going to look at his round belly and just be like, eh, okay, we're going to hold you down to NXT for a little bit longer, or something like that.
Well, we're starting to get, and I would be curious, I'm not going to actually do the research, but if somebody wanted to and told me, that would be great. What is the average amount of time between signing and debuting on...
NXT?
No, on a Raw or you know, how much time on average does someone spend in NXT?
I don't know. It seems to, like, really vary with a lot of people. Like, you know, I really would have thought Sami Zayn would have made his WWE debut. Like, and even if you don't even want to, like, you know, oh, well, you're saying that because you love him as El Generic. It's like, yeah, I do. But even guys that are, like, company guys, like Adrian Neville, like, probably a very company loved guy right now.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't debuted yet.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. I feel like probably the one that's going to have the easiest transition might be Virgil Devitt.
Yeah. Okay.
Prince Devitt. I feel like he probably have the, because he's got a high flying type style that, you know, WWE really likes. Kenta might just be, like, learning the WWE method, which, I'm, you know, as good as he is, it's not going to take him that long. I think he's going to have more, you know, probably more work on his English now.
Well, so the average time between getting signed and debuting on NXT, and then the amount of time spent on NXT before debuting on a Raw or SmackDown, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But really Raw.
So, yeah, if someone listening to this wants to do that research for us, you can send your findings to classofringattire@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Bam.
Do the work.
Yeah, do the work for us so we don't have to. Shall we dive into
SummerSlam? The official SummerSlam 2014 card.
Okay, they haven't announced a kickoff match as of yet, but there are 8 matches that have been announced, and, you know, out of all of those, probably, if I had to pick one that would get, you know, moved down to the kickoff, it would probably be the Intercontinental Championship match between Miz and Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a lot of people are putting a lot of eggs in this basket for this this feud for some reason. Like, a lot of people are thinking like this is going to be a turning point, at least for Ziggler. Maybe it's just people grasping at straws.
I mean, how much of it do you think is people want it to be a turning point for Ziggler?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I mean, I'll come straight out, I'm predicting Ziggler, and not for any reason other than I want him to win.
Yeah,
and
no,
I'm cheering as if it wasn't a scripted match.
Yeah, honestly, I would. I'm absolutely picking Ziggler as well. For basically the same reason. Like, they're really playing up that, you know, Ziggler is really from Ohio, Cleveland, so they're playing up that angle because Miz is, you know, LeBroning out of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
There's the whole that, you know, thing. But from what I'm... A lot of what I'm reading, you know, online is, you know, people are really excited, hopeful, you know, and they're actually getting a lot of, or, you know, decent camera time.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like if any of these, like, you could have not gotten that much camera time on the go-home show, it probably would have been this one.
Right.
But they're still getting a lot of time, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I want Ziggler to win.
Yeah, I want Ziggler to win.
Like, I'll have more in-depth analysis on other matches later on. I want Ziggler to win.
Yeah. We're finally getting Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins.
Yes.
In a match that should have happened a month ago.
Mm-hmm. But that's cool.
But now they have a lumberjack match.
Yes.
Hooray.
So,
whenever they do a whole, like, oh, yeah, this person who wins this can determine the stipulation, you never really think lumberjack, even though they like to do lumberjack a lot.
They always do no holds barred.
Right. Or some variation of no DQ, false count anywhere kind of thing, like, you know.
Yeah.
Some variation of no bar holding.
So, and it's just, I don't know. I feel like you could, if you can genuinely, like, pick the stipulation, you'd be like, your hands get tied behind your back, and mine don't. Right. Stipulation.
Yeah, like, hey, we're gonna have a match where you're not allowed to use your legs. Bam.
So.
And I get a chair.
Yeah.
You know, and no DQ. I mostly like this because Dean Ambrose popped out of a present.
Fair enough.
I saw it coming a mile away.
I know.
The
opening
giggled.
Show zooms across the presents, and I'm like, I wonder who already had to stand in that human-sized present for the whole show before so they could do this bit.
Do you think he was in there the whole time, or did he, like, pop in, like, right before the segment?
I hope he was in there the whole time.
I hope he was in there the whole time. I know, you know, they probably had a trap door or something like that.
I'm going to be totally honest. I think Seth Rollins kind of killed a little bit. He was like, is he in the present? I'm like, he is in the present.
Right.
Jump out of the present.
It would have been better if he was just walking by and then he popped out.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, called timing.
Yes.
Yeah, what ruined it for me is when, like, Seth was, like, going to, like, kind of, like, push the box a little bit, and the box didn't give any. I was like, oh, God, yeah, someone's in that.
Yeah.
Someone's in that, and it's probably Dean, and sure enough.
Well, as soon as Seth started being like, you know, oh, I was like, oh, well, Dean's in there. Because it could have been for any feud.
I just assumed there was going to be some sort of birthday match, and there was going to be a bowling ball in one of them. Like, it was like the whole, like, John Cena at Christmas, you know, type match. Ironically, versus Alberto Del Rio, where Del Rio ran over Santa.
Oh, yeah, Del Rio ran
and, you
over
know,
Santa.
They could use whatever they found in the gift, and
they would each get to unwrap one present.
And of course, everything that Del Rio opened up was silly, and wouldn't really, you know, be able to use with everything that John Cena opened was a bowling ball or something along those lines. He's just really bad at Deal or No Deal.
Fine, fair enough. Who do you predict?
Dean.
Yeah, I'll go Dean too.
Yeah. Moving on to Randy versus Roman. It should be a good match.
This the only... Okay, well, I guess Brie and Stephanie has no stipulation.
Right.
I mean, this is the only other one.
Well, technically, the WWE Championship match doesn't have a...
I assumed for a title was...
Okay.
This is the only one, like,
nothing special beyond there's a feud going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... two people don't like each other. Go solve it through punching.
But legal. Legal wrestling.
Yes.
You know, no funny business.
No. Nothing really outside of the ring.
Yeah. I mean, I would have liked to have seen Roman Reigns be in something a little bit higher profile.
Here's the thing. I think this would have been higher profile. They just haven't booked Randy Orton well since Mania.
Yeah.
He's just kind of
Before Mania, like, he was the champion that no one really cared about.
Yeah, well,
he was almost Miz in WrestleMania 27 type.
Well,
except Miz, you know, took it upon himself to reassert himself.
He got buried via Daniel Bryan, whereas Miz got buried by The Rock.
Fair enough.
Like, so, but Randy Orton, he had some, you know, he was in Evolution when Evolution was, it's Evolution, but he had, he's kind of been like, you know, one more chance, and, you know, I'll get it this time, and never does, and so, he's not the avatar for the Authority anymore. He's more like just kind of the errand boy for the Authority.
Yeah, or he's, you know, that oldest son who's still living upstairs that, you know, they acknowledge on occasion, but really try to pretend that he's not around anymore.
Yeah. So.
And then whenever he walks down walks down to the stairs into the kitchen, everyone, like, lets out a collective groan.
Well, I mean, I feel fairly convinced at this point Roman Reigns will be the next first-time WWE champion.
Yeah. Really? Before Seth? Before the guy that has Money in the Bank? That's a gotcha.
I know, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking if I want to stick to my guns here or not. Yeah, hat over the wall. Roman Reigns.
You think Roman Reigns will be champion within the next year before Seth Rollins?
I do very confidently think Roman Reigns will be champion within the next year.
All right.
Between now and next SummerSlam, I have no worries in making that prediction.
Okay.
Before Seth Rollins, a bit of a stretch, because Seth Rollins has the briefcase.
Fair enough. Right now, if I had to pick right now who would win the Royal Rumble, mm-hmm, I'd probably go Roman.
Yeah.
At this point. Even though a lot of people are saying that they want Brock and Roman for 31.
For 31?
Because that would be a big ordeal if Roman couldn't win.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's...
Maybe fair. Brock has the title until then.
Yeah, but Brock is not going to hold the title and defend it every month.
No. We'll get to that.
Okay.
I have some Brock thoughts later on.
Okay. So, as far as this match goes, Roman?
Roman.
Okay. I just realized I have not done any maths for any of these.
No.
Three and three quarters for Dolph and Miz. Four for Ambrose and Rollins. And 3.5 for Randy and Roman, with the majority of those stars going to Roman.
Alright. You're getting pretty generous here.
Not really. I'm kind of in the middle of the road, like, sticking that round 3.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Alright, moving on to the flag match. Rusev versus Jackie Swags.
Now, just to confirm, this match will not be solved by a pin, correct?
I'm guessing that's what the match, like, first one to grab, I'm guessing their flag.
And I'm assuming there's going to be, like, a
flag. And does, like... if they grab
stand in the middle of the ring and the first one to point.
No. They're going to be on like poles on either side of the ring on the turnbuckle.
Okay.
It's a flag on a pole match, essentially.
Oh, okay.
It's insert blank on a pole match, essentially.
This time it's a flag.
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm assuming grab your own flag and wave it. I'm assuming waving is part of the stipulation. If you only get like half a wave,
it doesn't get unfurled properly.
Yeah, and if it doesn't get unfurled properly and get like half a wave, and the other person interrupts, everything restarts. It's just like a strap match.
Okay.
There might be like light indicators this time.
Yay. Swagger's gonna win.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Swagger could win without pinning Rusev.
Without pinning, Rusev continues his unpinned streak.
I like that. Oh, God, I
Swagger,
like that.
They still get to be American at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Swagger's going to win.
Hmm.
I am confident in this answer.
You know what? It's Swaggy time.
I talked you into it, didn't I?
Two maths. I brought us up and then took us back down to reality. Because let's be honest, it's not going to be a good match. It's gonna be a good like environment, like the crowd's gonna be hot and everything. Match is gonna be crap.
We'll see.
It's a into the blink on a pole match. Those are really never good.
No, they're not.
Exactly. Next we'll go to the Divas Championship match, AJ versus Paige.
I don't know how you're gonna go with this.
I don't know. Like, I'm very, like, I, because assuming we're getting towards the end of this feud. It's been going on for, what, two?
It is, but who do they feud with next?
I don't know. I mean, they could theoretically keep going to Night of Champions. Because, you know, God forbid we not have a Divas Championship defended.
I mean, Paige has attempted and failed once already, correct?
Yes.
She lost it, had a rematch, and lost the rematch.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think?
You know what? Might as well stick with AJ.
I was going to stick with AJ too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, with this, when you have that problem with Sheamus or Cena getting match after match after match after they keep losing, or that time when Christian did, the one more match series, and I look over all the superstars that I wanted to have shots, and I was like, give them back of the line.
Right.
With this situation, I look over, I'm like, there's nobody else I really want to see get a shot at the championship. So yeah, Paige can try again, whatever.
Yeah.
And I just feel like at the end of the day, who do you want to see holding the title? Who does WWE want to see holding the title?
Right.
At the end of SummerSlam. And I think AJ is still their number one diva.
Right.
So.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, sure. And I'll go 3.5 maths right on this.
This match is going to be exactly as good as a Dolph Ziggler match, is what you're saying. And better than a Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins match.
Okay. Now, Dean Ambrose and Seth, I put gave 4.
Oh, okay. Did you?
Miz and Ziggler, I gave it a 3.5 because Miz is involved.
I like Miz.
Dolph Ziggler automatically gets 4 maths with me. Miz
took away half of it.
Miz automatically gets a negative half.
But it's a championship match, so you have to give it more because it's a championship match.
I might even give Miz and Dolph Ziggler 3.75.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to what you say.
I don't know. Like, that 25% really means something. Either way, well, you're saying you don't care, but yet you're the one who just brought all this up.
I just want to point it out to you. Go on to the next match.
You brought it up, but you were completely wrong. Going on to the next match. Probably the main event of the night. It's going on last. Absolutely calling it Brie Bella versus Stephanie.
It's ended like 2 out of the last 3.
Yeah.
Raws.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess we should touch on that storyline.
Yeah, Stephanie had Brie arrested. Because no one saw that coming.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Like, it's one of those, like, and, you know, Stephanie played it off very much like that jerk who someone gets the better of, and then they're like, all right, I'm going to get the better of that person by doing the exact same thing and expecting the same reaction. You know, like, she's, you know, kind of like that snide, snob look on her face, like, yeah, I did the exact same thing that you did to me. How does that make you feel, huh? And the other person's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it.
Also, Daniel Bryan's physical therapist came in.
Yeah. They never did explain whether or not that was, like, storyline true. Like, kayfabe, like...
Or if she was lying.
Right. Like, they never established that. Like, you saw Bree's reaction when she came in. Obviously, she knew her. Like, she
yeah, so it wasn't a plant.
No.
I assumed in kayfabe, Stephanie was gonna pick up somebody and be like, you say this now!
And Bree comes out and like, who the F is this, you know?
Yeah.
No, Bree clearly knew her.
Mm-hmm.
But they never specified whether or not Dana Bryan actually did the deed or not. I feel like that is an important storyline that hasn't been talked about. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm assuming...
Because Bree just came out and attacked her.
I'm assuming that he didn't, because he's going to come back
right, with, of course.
To Super Cheers and get an immediate title shot.
But this isn't something that you could kind of sweep on the rug, be like, no, ho, he texted himself.
It's like, I think bigger things have been swept under rugs. What was Triple H going to tell Shawn Michaels? I gotta know.
Two things that we probably will never find out. Whether what Triple H is going to say to Shawn Michaels on Shawn Michaels' retirement night, and did Dana Bryan really stick it to the trainer?
Oh, keeps me up at night.
But seriously, I'm going to need some sort of closure on this, because that is a bell you can't unring.
Yeah, like, no, I'm with you. I need somebody to be like, that didn't happen. Okay, I don't need a lot. I need Dana Bryan to be like, no.
And, be, okay. And again, this is not the type of scenario that lends itself to I texted myself. Okay?
Okay, nothing lends itself to I texted myself. That has not stopped them from pulling the I texted myself plan.
Oh, God. They're going to involve Hornswoggle somewhere. They're gonna make some sort of joke about how she couldn't tell the difference between Daniel Bryan
and Daniel Bryan's short.
Because he's a short, hairy guy.
Stop talking. You're making them think about Hornswoggle wearing a fake beard. You can see the pitch. You can see the pitch in the writer's room now.
The Leprechaun reboot's coming out soon.
Don't put that out there.
He's gonna get some camera time.
Oh, man. Okay, next up. Oh, I predicted Brie Bella.
Oh, yeah. And, I don't know how mass to give this one. I want to give it a lot because, you know, Stephanie McMahon's getting back in the ring.
I know. I'm trying to, like...
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And so... But to be totally honest, like... I don't remember Stephanie in the ring overly fondly. Like I do with Shane.
Right.
But... Because... I'm such a fan of Vince going all out in the ring, regardless of actual in-ring prowess. I have kind of, like, put that onto Stephanie.
Yeah.
As, you know, because she's done a great job of not copying Vince as the evil boss, but definitely emulating that while putting her own spin on it.
Right, like, and, in the spirit of Vince.
Yeah, kind of thing. And she's succeeded and surpassed all of my expectations in there. And, you know, I was honestly... assuming a lot of that was going to fall on Triple H, because I've seen him do a successful heel before.
Yeah.
But Stephanie has done such a good job, such an impressive job with that. I'm now almost unfairly expecting her to be like, do what Vince does! Go crazy and just try!
Yeah, pretty much.
And so maybe she will, maybe she won't. I don't know.
So I'll give it 4.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, the potential is high.
There you go. But there's a lot of room to screw this up.
Yes, there is.
Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho. Rowan and Harper have been banned from ringside. So, full one-on-one.
I have a sneaking suspicion that will not keep them from ringside.
Probably not.
Especially since Bray Wyatt is a character that can turn out the lights sometime.
Yep, and there's a long history of guys like Undertaker and The Shield doing that stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lights come back up and, oh, the person is out... You know, is unconscious, you know.
Yep.
How did that happen? Lulz.
So, Bray Wyatt, I predict to win.
Yeah, yeah, especially since Jericho won last
Jericho
time.
Won last time.
Jericho can't win time. Two pay-per-views in a row. He can barely win one.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's like, I hope it's a good match.
Yeah, because last one wasn't, last one was really slow.
Well, there's a lot of, like, just because, well, for one thing, I want Bray Wyatt to come out of this looking strong.
Yeah.
And I think Chris Jericho does, too. Like, that's what he's here for, almost. Like,
right.
But just beating Chris Jericho doesn't make you look strong anymore. As much as I still loved Chris Jericho and I'm excited every time he comes back.
Yeah.
It's not enough anymore to be like, that's your ticket.
Right.
Because Fandango beat him in WrestleMania.
Right.
And then and not even that. Like, that could have been fine for Fandango, but then the Fandango kept doing the Fandango stuff.
Yes.
And so, so it needs to look really good. They need to, you know, if it is like a beat the crap out of each other, they both crawl back to the locker room after Bray Wyatt just eked out a victory.
Right.
That kind of thing could do it. But there's so much can go wrong there. There's so many ways for Bray Wyatt to win this match and not look good doing it. Especially because he's got help that we're still assuming is going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I want Bray Wyatt to look good, to leave the ring looking good into whatever fall feud he has.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I really did like the interview segment with them.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was like, it was a different type of Bray Wyatt, like.
It was a different type of Bray Wyatt. I was very surprised we didn't get a, would you please shut the hell up from.
Well, yeah, and see, that's the difference between Jericho and Bray Wyatt. Like, Jericho knows when to cut off the, you know, slogan machine.
Between Jericho and Cena?
Yeah, Jericho, Cena, and Rock. You know, let's throw in Rock, too, because Rock doesn't know when to not do his slogans, you know? And Cena doesn't know when to not be, you know, joke Cena.
Yeah.
Jericho knows when, you know, he should have a frowny face and when he should have a smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
Joking about Stephanie being a bottom feeding hoe? Happy face. talking to the person that's supposed to be like the biggest, baddest monster in the WWE right now? Frowny face. Or serious face at the very least.
I imagine you having these two like signs behind him be like, frowny face. And it's like, look over Bray's shoulder during the interview. Like, okay. Frowny face.
Maybe we should do that next time we go to a WWE event. Like, have two signs, frowny face and happy face. When they're supposed to be happy, we'll hold up the happy face.
We should have a big sign that says joke Cena time and a big sign that says serious Cena time. And depending on what's happening, we should be like, this is what you should be doing now, Cena. Now this.
Or when he's being joking, joke Cena or whatever he shouldn't be. Have a sign that's like, you know, like, too soon, Cena, or not yet, not now.
Be angry.
Not appropriate.
Inappropriate joke. Alright, and the final match that we have is the main event, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar for the title.
The title?
I said championship and title at the same time.
Obviously.
So, they're gonna go for the title.
I can't wait to see this title match.
It's gonna be pretty good.
Is that anything like the championship?
Did I say championship?
No, but that's the opposite of what you just said.
Oh, okay. So
that's why it was funny. God. Okay, you ruined it.
Wasn't much to ruin.
I thought we were...
I made that mud puddle muddier. Bummer.
And I was trying to bring in the canoe to the tiny puddle. Be like, let's go canoeing, buddy. And you were like, no, and you set it on fire.
It's a puddle.
I know.
Do you have a champion prediction?
Yes. Bork.
Bork.
He's unstoppable at SummerSlam. Like, Brock Lesnar is like Mr. SummerSlam. At least for the past two, three years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, like,
Honestly, he's too close to his ending the streak for him to lose and be a taint, you know, to taint the streak itself, I feel.
Yeah.
Like,
if Lesnar was to lose now, this quickly, after beating the undefeated WrestleMania
literally streak, his next match after the streak.
Right. I would probably be kind of pissed about that.
Yeah. So, here is the real question.
Like, that would make me feel like they wasted the streak being
broken. Yes. That, I still stand that has not been wasted. That Bell has not been wasted.
So far, so good.
But you can change my mind on Sunday.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
And Cena doesn't need the win. Cena already beat him once 2 years ago.
Yeah. And yes. When does Brock defend the title again?
I assume they have him at Night of Champions for some reason. Now, they had him at Extreme Rules after WrestleMania, after 29.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's not, you know, completely unfounded for Lesnar to work 2 pay-per-views in a row. And we haven't got that much Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
You know? So they might have been saving some appearances.
So, but do you think he's going to lose at Night of Champions?
I don't know. Honestly, I would like to see him at least hold it until Survivor Series.
At least until Survivor Series, I feel.
Yeah.
But see, here's my potential pitch. When is the last time they've really pointed out that the championship has to be defended every 30 days?
I don't know. Like, I don't remember if it was ever brought up with the whole Daniel Bryan thing.
Yeah.
Because they kept... It was always in the air every week. Mm-hmm. Never got a definitive answer until he finally gave it up. But I don't think they ever actually mentioned, you know, you have this amount of time before...
Yeah. The last time I actually remember them specifically saying it was Sheamus versus Zack Ryder for the WWE Championship. When Sheamus was champion, he named his number one contender.
Oh! And so he named Zack Ryder. Yeah, that one time Zack Ryder was actually the number one contender.
Yeah.
For like... 5 minutes.
So he could beat him and then not have to worry about it for 30 days.
Right.
So, I would have Brock Lesnar win. He has to defend at Night of Champions, because honestly, that's the gimmick of Night of Champions, and if you mess up your own stupid gimmick, then...
Are we gonna get another rant this year?
We might.
Okay.
But see, here's the thing. But then just don't have Brock Lesnar defend. He doesn't have to. He takes the championship and doesn't show up. He doesn't have to, because he's Brock Lesnar.
Right.
And then the feud, the constant week-to-week feud, becomes for the number one contendership.
Yeah.
Whether that, you know, and that's, and Brock Lesnar does not defend until SummerSlam. And then Survivor Series. And then does not defend until Elimination Chamber, mm-hmm. and then WrestleMania. You know, so he's defending in these sporadic moments.
Because we have what? We'll have 2 pay-per-views between... SummerSlam and Survivor Series, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really just one pay-per-view that he would be missing.
He would be missing Hell in a Cell. And you have a Hell in a Cell match for the number one contendership at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to do it this way, to not have the champion defending on a monthly basis, one, actually makes Night of Champions better because the gimmick is valid then.
Mm-hmm.
Because if every championship has to be defended on one night... That's a valid gimmick all of a sudden because you don't have that automatically happening every month.
Mm-hmm.
It builds up the prestige of a championship match.
Right.
I feel there's no real downside to this other than you don't have the literal title on TV every week.
Right.
And you could even do that. You just put it on Paul Heyman.
Right.
You just have Paul Heyman coming out, swinging it, and... Cuts a promo about, like, nope, not here, because it doesn't have to be. And these are the championship belts that aren't yours anymore.
Right. Or, we get these video segments
mm-hmm.
of Brock Lesnar in his cabin in the middle of nowhere, because apparently that's where he actually lives. And then, like, off in the distance, at all times, is a very cold Seth Rollins. And a lone, poor referee right behind him. Just following him wherever he goes.
Just waiting.
Maybe Brock Lesnar has a bear trap somewhere. Or Seth Rollins sets up a bear trap. There you go. Middle of nowhere. I've seen cartoons. It happens.
So, you're not one for restoring prestige to the title. You vote against that.
I'm for bear traps.
It's not prestige or bear traps.
Hashtag team bear traps.
This is the weirdest election ever.
You know what? I could easily run a smear campaign against prestige.
The movie? Like, that's what I see. Okay, like,
forget that noise. I did like that movie.
Yeah, so it's an amazing
movie. I would not smear it. Okay. I could smear it. Okay.
All right.
It's not a movie.
So, that's the card. I feel pretty confident about it. I mean, it's... I'm looking forward to a lot of matches. Even the ones like, you know, Brie Bella and Stephanie McMahon is one where I'm like, that could be great or terrible. I don't know.
Right.
And, but I'm looking forward to it. Right. Because it could be great. And why not?
Yeah. It's summer. You know, yeah, it... There's no reason why this shouldn't be a fun card.
Yes, exactly.
You know, sure, it might not have the storyline that we're most excited about, but you're not going to be able to, you know, put that lightning in a bottle of Daniel Bryan and John Cena all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you could if, you know, both guys are healthy.
Well, to be totally fair, both guys were not healthy.
No, they weren't. They weren't. The only difference is
Cena had an elbow. Cena's football in his elbow. Yeah.
Cena's injury, he could, you know, still work with.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan's a little bit more serious.
No, totally.
Is. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's one of the things where it's like, Brock has, he has to win this.
He has to win, right?
And, but then you get to the problem, like, okay, he has to win, but how are they going to take it off of him, you know, so he doesn't have to work every pay-per-view? And honestly, what's more likely? Brock Lesnar gets beaten clean or bear trap.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you have Brock Lesnar defending four times between now and next WrestleMania,
right.
And then do Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Okay, I'd watch that. I'd pay $9.99 for that.
I would.
Or anybody else, or the second Daniel Bryan comes back and whenever he can and rematch time. Mm. Okay, Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. Yeah. And I would not hate Daniel Bryan. These are both guys I would not hate beating Brock Lesnar for the championship.
But you're very solid on Seth Rollins will not be the one to cash in and take the belt off Brock.
Oh, not at all. Okay. That could totally happen.
Okay. Like,
do you want me to like?
No, no. Like, but so,
wax lyrical in the scenario.
No. I mean, I'm just. It seems like of all the scenarios, that one's like. It seems to be the least.
Well, likely. Right now, Brock Lesnar is pretty much in the authority's pocket.
Right.
So there's
okay.
So
yeah, fair enough.
The authority has no advantage for telling Seth Rollins.
Forgot all about the Plan C thing. Yeah.
So I mean, what you do is you have that happen. Brock Lesnar is angry. Paul Heyman is angry. You have Paul Heyman be like, "Nope, long con plan to take over WWE," and then Paul Heyman charges into battle against the authority, writing the
with just Brock Lesnar. But then again, yeah, who else do you need?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, who else do you need? And then you could use anybody. Anybody, you know, you split it, you give them SmackDown, you reinvent the brand split, and you make it beautiful.
Dear God, okay, this is about to turn into a trash ring entire episode, because my pants just got tight.
I mean, and then you do occasionally, you know, crossovers, and... It's the WCW versus WWE again, and you know you want that.
But with one title? Because in your scenario, he'll be kind of holding the title hostage on Brock.
Yeah, you mean you put Intercontinental on Raw, USA on SmackDown. Those are your brand exclusive titles, which
right.
bumps them up a little bit.
Okay, but...
Because they're basically the number one title
and then
on each
whatever's
right
going on with the actual championship would be on both shows.
Yes.
Okay.
Or you don't have it on SmackDown for a while, and you have your top-tier SmackDown people grumbling and fighting for a chance.
Right.
So you would have basically one, maybe two matches per pay-per-view that would be crossover matches, you know, which would be the title match.
Okay.
You have somebody on Raw wanting to be champion, but... The champion is a Raw person anyway, so he can't fight. So he defects to SmackDown through shocking, unexpected things. And then, so he can get a championship shot.
Okay.
Do any of this stuff. Or bear traps.
Or bear traps. I like bear traps. All
right.
Let's do bear traps. All right. You know what's better than bear traps?
Nothing.
That's right. It's time for the mail, sir. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your bear sack. Okay, so that was a lot. Nothing's better than bear traps.
Okay.
But it is time for the mail sack. This comes from Sideshow Bob. He said, I made a comment on Pulse a while back that Seth Rollins and his goofy neck made him look like Mechagodzilla. That said...
Okay, whoa. Which Mechagodzilla?
I don't know. I'm just reading, dude.
I know, but there was the Mechagodzilla from the 1974 movie, and then there was the one from the 1992 movie. And there was really two Mechagodzillas in Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2. There was also Terror of Mechagodzilla, which had a different Mechagodzilla that was built by...
Oh my god, I don't care!
I'm just saying.
It's a pick'em, okay? Whichever one you want in your own head. How's that? Like, whichever one you're imagining right now.
I'm now imagining a hot dog, but, you know.
Okay.
Because I panicked and went hot dog.
Oh, dear lord, you're about to have to edit so many curse words.
Would you like to read something?
Wrestling has had its fair share of atrocious gimmicks over the years. One, which is your least liked, and which is a guilty pleasure of horrible cheesy characters? He's talking Shockmaster or Morris levels of wrestle crap costuming, not just Santino in the sock. Of like really bad gimmicks.
Yeah, okay, so the thing that I would least like it because it went too far, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing, is like even if I don't like, you know, Santino or whatever, it's not for me, and like that's how I feel about Adam Rose right now. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Not for me. As of
right now, yeah.
As long as he doesn't do that parade around the ring holding the title anytime soon. Whatever. Yeah. It's a segment where I pee and somebody else can enjoy it. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, horrible cheesy characters, like, yeah, Shockmaster was the first thing
right
that came to my head.
Do you have a guilty pleasure?
Can I say David Arquette?
As far as like guilty pleasures? Or
like, okay, honestly.
At least liked. Get like horrible.
Honestly, guilty pleasure. Like, just because I didn't have to live through it.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, because I wasn't watching wrestling at that time. And so can you believe they did this terrible idea? Oh man, that was dumb. Not something I'd be like, oh, I had to live through this.
Yeah.
That was sad.
My guilty pleasure still is Fandango.
Yeah?
Like, I was on board from like day one, and I'm just holding on because I really dig that dude. You know, from his previous stuff. So, I'm just hanging on. And, like, Fandango hasn't done anything that I absolutely hate that I can remember right now. I'm probably, like, you know, if you gave me his entire body work as Fandango right now, I probably could pick out a couple things I didn't like.
Yeah.
But, you know, still hanging on.
Okay. Wow.
He gave
Fandango. Fandango was honestly in my consideration for least liked.
Oh yeah, fair enough. I mean, and I get that. It's why it's a guilty pleasure, because it's like, okay, I know that this is weird that I like this, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to, you know, be like, oh, you should all like him because I do, blah 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 blah. The guy did give JBL a table dance. Let's just throw that out there.
I mean, I'm also
and for a while my guilty pleasure was super crazy Alicia Fox.
Yeah.
I dug the crap, and I dug the crap out of it, and I'm kind of mad that that's not a thing right now anymore.
It got lost in the shuffle, man.
I blame Oksana getting let go. We never saw after Oksana got let go. Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, as far as least liked, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of... So, the thing that comes to mind right now is Willow.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Just because...
I know it's Jeff Hardy. Right.
Shh, don't tell anybody, but I know it's Jeff Hardy.
How dare you?
and that was just, like, this kind of, like, just... But I don't feel the same way about, like, Biker Taker.
Yeah.
And, you know, because that's the thing, is, like, the thing that... kind of bugged me about it. It's like, I know who you are.
Right.
Once somebody, and there's, I feel like there's a certain level you can get to before you can be like, nope, totally different character.
Yeah.
And you know what, and like, Hollywood Hogan is still Hulk Hogan. Like, it's not like we're ignoring that Hulk Hogan ever happened.
Yeah.
Because it's still the same character, even though it's a different character.
Whereas Bray Wyatt is a different character that is not, you know, in kayfabe, is completely not Husky mm-hmm. Harris. But Husky Harris was never at that level.
Yeah.
If John Cena went away for 2 months and suddenly came back with something like that
yeah.
and tried to pretend it wasn't John Cena, no, I would not accept that.
Right.
And I feel like Willow's asking me to accept that a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, he you know, they've acknowledged. It's not like they're, you know, refusing it, but Willow never gelled with me, so.
Okay. There's actually, as far as least liked, there's two different scenarios that I really, really hate, even though one is one of the wrestlers I love most in this entire world. CM Punk as the leader of the new Nexus. Everything about it, I absolutely hated.
Really?
Because it felt like WWE's version of what Straight Edge Society was. You know? Like we've heard Straight Edge Society was, like, CM Punk's brainchild.
Yeah.
It was really good, and I've rewatched all this stuff, and it was really entertaining. Nexus was, like, almost like the same thing, except with WWE's creatives' fingerprints all over it.
Okay.
You know? And, you know, CM Punk was in tag team matches with Mason Ryan, okay? Come on.
I like Mason Ryan.
You know, fine, but
Mason Ryan's one I really felt just kind of got lost in the show.
He did.
Like, I never dreaded Mason Ryan, so.
Fair enough.
I mean, he was never given a chance for me to be like, yes, Mason Ryan made a vent time, but.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people hold the Randy Orton CM Punk feud for that WrestleMania in high regard.
Well, it was easily the best part of that WrestleMania, which is not a great, you know, huge thing.
Because that WrestleMania was crap.
But that was also, that was part of, and you know, there's been a couple of these where, like, CM Punk's had time to cut promos in the middle of Royal Rumbles, and right. That was one of them.
Right.
So there's a little bit like, okay, I like
there's,
it.
There's that. Fine. But, well, actually, no, he didn't really get to cut promos in the middle of the new Nexus, because that was Straight Edge Society.
I mean, he did. It was better with the Straight Edge Society.
Right. This one that WrestleMania, that following year with Nexus, was just him hiding behind his Nexus wall.
Okay, if that's your complaint, that in that new Nexus is everything we've already seen, but worse.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll give you that.
Right.
Still, but it's still better than other stuff.
They were also feuding with the Core. You wanted me to bring up the Core? Because I know for a fact Blair hates it every time I bring up the Core, because apparently everyone's equal in the Core, and Blair is not all about equality.
I'm just saying that the worst thing CM Punk has ever done is still miles better than
fine. Other and things. Yeah, maybe it's just me like being a, and I'm even wearing a CM Punk shirt right now. Where you know maybe it's just one of those things where it's like I love CM Punk to death, but why is he doing this? Why do they have him stuck with this? You know, like they teased a feud with John Cena like right out the get go, and I was like, all right, we were off of the races because we never really got a Cena CM Punk feud
at that
because they've been on separate shows for the majority of their careers at that point. So at that point, I'm like, all right,
that's another thing. I feel like you could blame on The Rock.
Yeah,
because Cena had to really
Cena had to get to Miz and Rock. Mm-hmm. You know, so they kind of like wrote that off as just CM Punk was making a point. And John Cena just happened to be there, and then next thing you know, he was feuding with Wade Barrett over ownership of the Nexus.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the other thing that I really, really hate.
Yeah.
Anything with Tensai. Like, his entire career, I do not like anything he's done. Albert, A-Train, I've hated it all.
Okay.
He's had horrible gimmicks, you know, however you feel about him whenever he left and went to Japan and his work there. Fine. If that's your thing, then absolutely. But as far as his work with WWF/WWE, I hated every last bit of it. He's much better as a commentator.
I will totally give you, like, the sweet tea stuff, I was fine with. Because it fit in the horribly cheesy character situation. Right. I'm like, yeah, not for me, whatever. But yeah, the Tensai is a credible threat thing. Especially because I think the first Raw we went to was Tensai in the main event.
When he was still known as Lord Tensai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, like, but even back in the WWF days, like, you know, they said, oh, it's going to match with A-Train or Prince Albert or whatever. I roll my eyes and just look at my watch until they went on to something else. Yeah.
But as far as gimmicks, I will give you Tensai as one of the worst gimmicks.
And second part of Sizer Bob's email was, has any wrestling federation on a national scale ever actually had someone wrestle in a Godzilla suit. I feel like this has been answered on polls. I think I've seen it somewhere where someone actually gave him an answer, but I don't know.
Well, one, am I allowed to do international scale? Because I think you're much more likely in, like, Japan to find a company that did
sure
wrestling in a kaiju suit. Two, if you've seen Godzilla vs. Megalon, they're just wrestling. It's literally two guys in giant kaiju suits just wrestling.
Of course you know this. Why would I expect him to
do this? I mean, like, honestly, I would believe there is somewhere where Godzilla has bounced off of a tree that looked mysteriously like a turnbuckle. And, like, elbow. I very much remember Godzilla elbow dropping on somebody in one of the movies.
Fair enough.
Like, he's also, like, done a running tail slide where, like, he'll run and then he'll lean back onto his tail and then just slide.
Like, so pop a wheelie on his tail? Yes.
Yeah. Like, basically a flying 2-foot kick on the tail just slides for, like, 30 feet on that tail. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Okay, sure. We're going to move right on.
All
right. This comes from an email from Mark. He says, "Hey guys, love the podcast." Oh, thank you so much. We love that you love the podcast.
Yeah.
He goes on, "I was watching Raw this week and I was thinking, is there anything in wrestling that means less now than Kane taking his mask off? I love Kane and I remember when he took the mask off for the first time and what a big deal it was. Now it seems like he's only had it on for a couple of weeks following Citizen Kane."
Yes, there is something that means less now than Kane taking his mask off, and that is Cena versus Orton for the very last time.
Yeah, them specifically saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know, you know, not defending your title for 30 days.
Yeah.
But yeah, more so, Orton and Cena
mm-hmm.
being called the last time they'll ever face off.
Yeah.
Really just like, alright, we're gonna take maybe a year break.
I mean, that's a recurring problem. But it's not really even WWE's fault. It's just a recurring problem in having to produce
mm-hmm.
X amount of content every week without fail, week after week after week, where you get that dramatic thing, dun, 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 and so you try and recapture that. And so you recapture it by doing the thing that made that was effective.
Yeah.
You know, and it just the second time is never as exciting. The third time is never exciting. You know, just like, I don't know, like Goldberg's streak. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like once it's broken, it's broken. And, you know, it's not that exciting to see somebody defeat him again.
Right. Wasn't it you, I believe it was you, that was watching the last pay-per-view and the main event, the Fatal 4-Way, you're just like, hey, wait a minute. Did they just trick me into another Orton Cena match? Was that you?
That might have been.
Okay. But yeah, see, the thing is, like, the whole thing surrounding Kane taking his mask off this time was him basically quitting.
Yeah.
Like, he basically, you know, quit with the Authority, and yet this week, this past Monday night, he basically, you know, came out as still the director of operations, part of the Authority.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what they're getting at, except I'm guessing they're like, okay, Kane's been in the ring for a while, let's give him some time off from in-ring stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is, maybe it's they're wanting to take the mask off whenever they, you know, whenever See No Evil 2 comes out, which is, I'm assuming, is soon.
Yeah, I mean, that might be part of it, is he's, you know, you see Glenn Jacobs' face in See No Evil, so
right.
Maybe we got to make sure that face is visible.
Right.
Can't cover that up. Maybe he'll have a mask on when he's in the ring from now on, and
a mask off whenever.
Yeah, he's not. Like, depending on what Triple H comes out to do, is what music they play.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Also,
it would be kind of, I don't know, it would kind of suck to see the mask and the whole character Kane be diminished, something like that, though.
Yeah.
You know, back when, you know, the mask was such a huge deal, and now it's just like, on and off.
Whatever. Okay, well, do you consider this mask on par with the previous mask?
No, not at all.
I mean, and like,
it felt like a big deal when he returned with it against Cena.
It did. When they're like, the mask is coming back. I remember that. I remember getting excited that the mask was coming back.
Yeah.
And part of that was, I never liked Unmasked Kane as much.
Right.
And that's really even not fair, because what I really liked was Silent Kane.
Yeah.
And part of that was because I liked Paul Bearer, and I thought that was a great combo. Like, Kane talked for a while with the mask on, And you can, in fact, go find Masked Kane playing the weakest Link on the WWE episode.
Yes.
And
yeah.
It's hilarious and not at all intimidating.
No.
Because he has the mask on, like, complete mask, trying to play the weakest Link.
Yeah.
So.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Lest you ever forget that was a thing.
Wrestlers are dumb. Let's just throw that out there.
So, it's just... Yeah, you can never recapture the magic of the mask.
Yeah.
And part of the mystique of the mask is taking it off for the first time and seeing what the mask means. It's Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
It just is. It's a classic trope. And so, you know, they have other masked characters, and if they play up the masks, one day they can take off Sin Cara's mask. One day they can theoretically...
They'll just be like, hey, it's that's Hunico.
Yeah. Well, it'll have been long enough that we'll have forgotten who Hunico was.
I don't know.
I mean...
Unless they put, like, Kalisto underneath that thing,
I mean, you could theoretically take off Rey Mysterio's mask, and it would be a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be speaking a big deal, of, but Rey Mysterio...
Speaking of, I was reading an article saying that Rey Mysterio is very much, he's going, like, through, like, these contract and legal disputes with WWE because mm-hmm. he really wants out and he wants to go to AAA in Mexico.
Yeah, well, he wants out. Basically, WWE has invoked a clause that if you miss a certain amount of
right.
days due to injury, those days don't count for your contract, so his contract has been extended.
Right.
He is trying to dispute that. He is not, allegedly, he is not cashing his paychecks from WWE in right. an effort to get out of that.
Yeah.
So maybe we will never see.
Yeah, that,
CM Punk.
That was yeah, that was one of those things where
Rey Mysterio take his mask off.
Right. In WWE.
In WWE. Yeah.
WCW took it off all the time, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah, you said something about them being on Weakest Link, and all I can think of now is like any time wrestling's mentioned in like a mainstream media type scenario, it's nothing but horrible wrestling puns.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently they think that's funny. Like, how many SmackDown puns can you really make?
Yeah.
Like, 5, maybe.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not a Weakest Link fan. I don't make sure I watch Weakest Link episode. Nor every, you know, episode of The View or whatever. So...
Right, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, a wrestling story hits mainstream and you see every local news anchor going... WWE superstar lays the smackdown on home invader.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it just kills me. And it's not just wrestling. Like, local news anchors are horrible about puns with everything.
Yeah, I was like, you can do this, you know.
But, you know, specifically with wrestling, it seems like it's so much worse.
Well, it's because you followed wrestling news specifically, so fair. You don't miss a one.
Right.
You know?
Like, every financial news article about the network has a ton of horrible wrestling puns in it.
Mm-hmm. You mean anything about, you know, like, there's people standing in line for Star Wars, like, da-da-da-da, shoots for the stars.
Yeah.
Like, everyone.
Or, you know, some inflammatory nerd comment.
Yeah, no, it's how it is written.
And they'll probably make some sort of Big Bang Theory reference.
Yeah.
I hate that show so much. I know. Let's talk about stuff that's making us happy.
Alright, what's making you happy?
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy finally.
It's pretty good, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
Wasn't Batista amazing in it?
He was really great. He's not polished yet. Because there were some lines that really felt forced. Like, anything involving big words felt really forced. But his comedic timing is amazing. I will give him that. And I think he's on a fast track of being a great actor, especially for Marvel.
Yes.
I think that he takes this very seriously. Mm-hmm. And he obviously works at it very much, so I feel like he was great in Guardians of the Galaxy. I think he's going to be even better in more movies to come.
Okay, do you think that he is now on any sort of fast track to... Or any pace track to actually become a legitimate movie star? I want to see that movie with Dave Bautista in it the way that The Rock is.
I don't see anyone reaching Rock levels right now.
Well, okay.
But
Batista is now where The Rock was in 2001.
Yeah.
When Mummy Returns came out.
Right, and he has a better, bigger and better vehicle than Mummy Returns. I don't know if he's going to reach that level. Like, I feel like we're going to have an opportunity to where Rock and Batista might be, like, the Schwarzenegger-Stallone of our generation. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, huge action movie stars on their own. Sometimes work together, Expendables, yeah, whatever. But, like, in their heyday, those were the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling if, you know, this whole Batista thing, he plays his cards right and he gets in the right movies and doesn't do anything about Tooth Fairies, he'll be good. He will climb that ladder. I don't know if he'll be at the same height as Rock, but right now, Rock, all he has to do is just kind of coast with what he's been doing.
Yeah.
And he, because he's already, he is the action hero of our generation.
So, when do you think, if we do, when do you think we will see Batista in a WWE ring again?
I don't know. Part of me expected to see him by SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently still wants to do at least one more match, and he wants that against Triple H at WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
From his own, like, it's has nothing to do with anyone booking anything or anything being pitched, but it's just, it's what he would like to see. And I would like to see him get one last run, because at his age and, you know, him, when he's committed to something, he's fully committed to something. Like,
yeah.
You know, say what you want about him, about anything, but when he was with WWE, he was with WWE completely when he came back. I see that maybe one more run.
Yeah.
Now,
I would like him to come back for one more run, not for one more match.
Yeah.
Because it's as much as I just want to say good things about Batista now because of Guardians, he did have very clear ring rust.
Yeah.
Coming back, so.
But he was getting so much better towards the end.
He was, and that's why, like, I do want to see a run up until, if WrestleMania 31 is it.
Yeah.
If a run up until then, so like, that he has a strong match
to close out. Around that time, and again, it's all indicative of what his schedule's like. I'm assuming his schedule is, if it hasn't gotten a lot busier, it's about to.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I haven't heard anything on if he's got anything lined up next, other than Guardians 2, or...
Yeah, but whatever. Scripts have landed at his door, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I would absolutely like, and I feel like we will. Like, I don't think that he is satisfied with how this last run went.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way I think about Jericho. Like, this last run, the whole Fandango thing, I don't think he was satisfied, so I felt like we were going to see him at least one more time.
Yeah.
You know, and it was Jericho who made we're at the point where he'll make a return, like, once a year.
Mm-hmm.
But with Batista, I very much think he's just not satisfied with how the last run went. So I feel like it's just a matter of timing.
Okay.
And the right things opening up. Like, the same thing with Rock, you know, like, basically he came back when the time was right and he had, you know, enough free time on his schedule.
Fair enough.
All right. Stars got a line.
Making me happy this week, it's being reported that CM Punk will likely be in WWE 2K15.
Yeah.
Not in any sort of, like, that makes Punk is coming back kind of thing.
Because, but in a retrospective, you know, rivalry, like, mode thing.
Because there's, Andre the Giant was in 2K14 and he's not coming back. Like, that doesn't mean anything. But.
Boo! Too tsunami.
My point is, I have spent a long time playing CM Punk in some THQ video games.
Right.
And I don't want the first, like, we finally get to this 2K series.
I've seen some actual gameplay, and holy crap, the graphics are way better. The game mechanics look about the same, but the graphics are so much better.
Well, I've very rarely had complaints about that.
No, the game mechanics were easily the best things about the previous games.
Yeah. So, to finally be there and, like, and that to be when Punk's like, nope, I'm outie. And, like, no, I can't. I want to play.
Right. But they've announced this rivalry mode type mm-hmm. thing, and it's going to focus on, they confirmed CM Punk because, you know, they're going to have a CM Punk and John Cena rivalry mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they also have Shawn Michaels and Triple H. And of course, you know, some doofus automatically asks, well, what about Chris Benoit? And of course, they didn't answer that. What would you expect?
Yeah.
They're not going to answer that. They hardly even acknowledge the guy ever existed in the company.
Yeah.
You think they're really going to put him in their freaking video game? No.
No.
Yes, they had a match at WrestleMania with the three of them. It's not that hard to gloss over.
Yeah. As they should.
As they have.
Alright, as always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays, appropriate Sundays, one of which is this Sunday, so be sure to tweet along. Enjoy some SummerSlam.
I just realized how much of a downer the ending of... I made that segment.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry.
Thanks. Do you not remember the point of what's making you happy?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Focus on that.
Yay! And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so look us up there. Give us a rating of
5 bear traps.
Any kind of review that you write would be awesome. A good review would be even better.
Yes. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Bear traps.